And gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This episode of the Hagmann Report. Wow, these lights. I mean, what am I? Am I the part of the Walking Dead cast?
Who's in here playing with the lights today?
Check this out. You gotta watch on YouTube. You can see on video. You can see the heck. Yeah, Eric's grumbling. He's grumbling. It looks like a wet too, slimy. What is that?
Probably sweat. It's not even close. Humid here today.
No, it's
about 70 degrees, and you have your space heaters going.
I'm old.
Reminds me of Grandma.
I'm old. What can I tell you? Welcome, folks, to this edition of the Hagmann and the Hagmann Report. Well, thank you so much for joining us. we're real, I guess, right? Two websites: HagmannReport.com, Hagmann and Hagmann.com. I want to thank you too. We are rolling back out HomelandSecurityUS.com. There's just so much data, so many investigations that are ongoing right now to coordinate the level of investigations we are doing. We are superintending from this point. It is it's unbelievably we're just busy. I mean, it's just busy all of the time. And I know I've been in contact with my investigators, or with the investigators that comprise the network, you know, from 6:30 in the morning, 6:30 in the morning to 1-2 in the morning. I mean, it's just constant. So, but having said that, the progress is being made, and I do believe that you're going to see some interesting things develop. That's HagmannReport.com. That is linked to HomelandSecurityUS.com, but that's kind of being reformatted or rebrought out, as I had mentioned before. And you might say, well, my goodness, you've been talking about that for 2 weeks. So again, you have to understand the information that we're working on is across the country and across a wide spectrum of issues. Also, we're bringing forth the marketplace for Christian businesses. What we're trying to do is really provide Christian businesses a place where they can advertise. Very limited, you know, exposing the Christian audience to the Christian businesses, and vice versa, of course. That's Hagmann Marketplace. It's linked off of HagmannReport.com. We'd like to see and showcase those businesses as well. I mean, we'd like to see, and of course, our supporters are on there. They have the sponsors are on there, and it's just the marketplace in general is getting more and more, shall we say, it's rough for Christian businesses. You know, you heard about the Christian baker, of course, refusing to take care of the homosexual couple and then being sued into oblivion. You don't hear about that stuff anymore, but it's still going on. It is still going on. The attack against one's own conscience and one's own religious beliefs, spiritual beliefs, it's taking place. Meanwhile, you've got what I would describe in part as, in my personal view, someone looking for 15 minutes of fame and struggling for relevance. Again, this is my personal opinion of this individual. Just laying that qualifier out there. Ehab Jobber from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. 45-year-old Muslim who identified himself as John Smith. Again, struggling for relevance in my view, in his puny little life, going into the conference at Hilton, at the Hilton in Sioux, Hilton Conference Center in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, last April 9th.
If I have information correct, he worked as a cook in some.
Yeah, he was a server, quote, okay. Server, cook. He's done a lot of menial jobs. So, just so you know, this is coming from me. This is my personal opinion. Okay, again, in America, you're still allowed to have personal opinions. So, the address for lawsuits, of course, is on the front page of my website, just in case. And stand in line, take a number. Okay, but this individual walks into the Hilton Conference Center where Brennan House and the Iranian pastor were doing the multiple city tour of the problems with Islam in America. And of course, Brennan House had for sale, as anyone is allowed to have for sale, books and what have you at this event. And of course, the interesting part about this is, in case you haven't heard about it, there will be today, we're going to release about a 45 minute interview with Brennan House and Pastor Sharam Hadian. They explain what happened, but this Ihab Jabber goes into the venue, takes his cell phone, goes on Facebook Live, or I'm not exactly sure how that worked, but anyway, he scanned the crowd with his camera, and you heard this before. If you're hearing this for the first time, this is just kind of a thumbnail sketch. Scans the back of the crowd with his cell phone camera, and he's wearing a t-shirt that identifies him as an American, as a Muslim, as one who open carries, one who personal carries, or conceal carries, and who doesn't suffer fools, you know, basically, the last couple of lines on his t-shirt. And you can see it on Facebook. I wouldn't give him the time of day, essentially, you know, any hits on his, or any real discussion on his Facebook site, but he appeared to be menacing, if you will. That's the way I would describe it. Very menacing toward Brennan House and the Iranian-born pastor, who now was formerly a Muslim turned Christian. And this pinhead, Ihab Jabber, described this event as an anti-Muslim event. And it's interesting, the media picked up on this, the local media and some of the national media picked up on this as an anti-Muslim event. It wasn't any such thing.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't.
And the reading yesterday, when a lot of those articles broke about Brandon's story on WorldNet Daily, the Daily Caller, and other places, in the comment section, I saw quite a few people from South Dakota in that area who said that their local media, they heard nothing about the follow-up. They only heard about the, as you just described it, an anti-Muslim event, and how the community came together, you know, Muslims and Christians and Jews all came together, you know, to...
Wait a second. Eric, do you still have those pics? Can you throw one up there? Or not? Is that too much trouble? I don't want to... of that pinhead, that jobber pinhead.
Yeah.
That dweeb. Yeah. And it's funny, he does. Can you do that? Are you mic'd up? Can you? Because I can't do that. I can't do that with my tongue. That prayer that he did over his ammo. No, we're not being monetized. So, you know, bite me, everyone. All right.
Good point.
I feel this freedom. Now, with this, there's an interesting aspect to this show, and I was talking with Brandon House about this, and I was talking with the pastor about this earlier, and we're gonna be 45 minute drilling deep into what happened here. This is gonna be a special report. We'll make it live after this show. please look for it. And I would ask everyone to take that report and listen to it and then spread it around. Watch it and spread it around. Because I'm going to tell you something. This is going to happen more and more across the country. And this is intended to, and this segues into what we're going to be talking about next. This segues into the silencing the Christians and the conservatives in this country. But for this man to be able to go into a venue and to walk that very thin line with respect to what he said, and for the police and the authorities to not, to basically hands off, this has got a chilling, this has a chilling effect on not the people like us who go to conferences, we'll say, or to do the conferences, but the attendee, or and not certainly not the attendees, but the conference venues. For example, if you owned a hotel, or if you owned a banquet hall, would you be willing to rent that banquet hall out to a Milo or an Ann Coulter, or now, in this case, a Brandon House? Especially knowing that there is a situation. Personally, I would. But the tactic that, and I don't believe he acted alone, because I don't believe he is, in my personal view, I don't believe he's that intelligent. I don't think he's got the brains. I think he's a stooge. And you know what else? I was able to connect some dots based on my investigation. And we've got eyes on and boots down in close to that area. And what they've been able to find out are some interesting connections between this fry cook, basically, whose only excitement in life is able to watch a pint of ice cream melt, if that. In his defense, he was correct in that. I'll give him that. But there's something happening here. There's something happening with from the Muslims, from the Council on American Islamic Relations, from North American Islamic Trust, from all of the co-conspirators that were identified, unidentified co-conspirators and identified co-conspirators, or unindicted, I'm sorry, co-conspirators and indicted co-conspirators in the Holy Land Foundation trial. And the Muslim Brotherhood, the memorandum that was found back in 2004, identifying the tactics, strategies, and game plan. And you can trace that, in my view, right back to the Secretary of State, Hillary Rodham Clinton, and Huma Abedin. And you can see how the Muslims have really piggybacked with the Marxists in this country. The Marxists using the Muslims as useful idiots to take over this country. And this is exactly what's happening.
In the media.
This is one of the tactics. It will very much so, yeah. And this kind of segues into what Joe's got. Ann Coulter was scheduled today. Was it today or was it?
She's scheduled to and folks, some of the stories we're going to get into tonight, go to HagmanReport.com, for the full stories. You can go there and grab those. But yes, Ann Coulter's appearance at Berkeley, I believe it was scheduled for the 27th. I'm pulling up the article now, has been canceled due to security concerns. And, she didn't cancel it. It was canceled by the university.
All right. Okay.
It was canceled because of concerns of safety and security at the event. The cancellation was for the date of April 27th, and this event comes just days after the latest Antifa violent encounter between far right and left supporters at a pro Donald Trump rally in Berkeley that left a number of people injured, and that happened just this last weekend.
See,
and
this
they said that they're going to find another time and date.
Good.
For the
good.
Often provocative Coulter to speak at Berkeley. But what I was reading here, further along in the article is what they're doing. Instead of, some of these speakers will have, you know, some kind of rally during the day, and then they'll have a number of speakers in the evening. Uh-huh. They want these speakers to come like early in the morning, and do this like right at noon. So it's like at the, during the day, not close to, close to the evening. I don't know why that they make such a big deal of that. Maybe because they think more people will come out at night to
cause trouble. Are they relegated to the free speech zones of at Berkeley, or is that?
You know, they didn't get into that much. And the article is misleading.
They're being
too.
Held hostage, but
because they don't put the blame where it belongs,
as far as
the violence. They even go as far to basically say even the pro-Trump rally was, these pro-Trump people's fault. The violence was the pro-Trump people's fault for even holding the rally.
Right. And don't you have any sense, boy?
Yeah. It's crazy. And you want to talk about the media? There's a trend that's continuing to be, that's increasing.
Don't make them angry.
In the media, the Fresno killer yesterday, we talked about this. There was a man, an African-American man, Corey Ali Muhammad, in Fresno yesterday.
Yes.
Went on a shooting spree, killing three people and wounding others, as he had made rap videos and Facebook posts going on and on about how he hated white people.
And, of course, he shouted Allahu Akbar at the end.
When he was arrested. Wait a second, though.
Let me add. Police are still seeking a motive in that.
Oh, my gosh. I know. And not only that, the AP changed the Fresno shooter's words from Allah Akbar and put God is great. And we saw on CNN,
damn
New York
Christians.
Times.
White Christians.
And this isn't terrorism. They're saying this is not terrorism.
Not terrorism. Keep repeating. Repeat after me. It's not terrorism.
Yeah, not terrorism. So the Associated Press edited the words of a Muslim man who allegedly killed three white people downtown Fresno afternoon while he shouted Allah Akbar while being arrested. The 39-year-old Corey Ali Muhammad holds fervent anti-Trump beliefs, and according to his social media profile, he hates white people. But is this a hate crime? Nope. Is this a terrorist act?
Police are still looking for the motive, trying to understand really what set this man off. We believe that he had a really bad childhood, and in fact, his mother might have abandoned him. He's got mommy issues.
And he
wasn't
black. He was a dark white skinned male.
That's right. Dark white skinned male. Not black. Shh, can't say that.
And that's a reference joke to the media's coverage of the Facebook killer being described as a dark white male. Instead of
somebody sent me an email saying he was coming after us. That's why he was in our town.
Oh.
I mean, okay. Yeah,
interesting.
I heard that one before.
Because I'm sure that's what he's thinking about.
Right. I'm sure we're really up on his list, right?
Yeah. But back to the Fresno shooter. I'm looking for the other article that I didn't post today, but yeah, CNN also went on to make some sort of. I mean, they're making excuses. CNN completely ignores the Fresno murders. You know,
Fresno?
When we see these Muslim attacks against Americans, whether there's racial components or not, and you see the media lie for them, change the narrative of the story to make it fit a storyline that is not about Muslims on the attack. It is so frustrating.
Muslims Gone Wild. It's gonna be a new TV series. Muslims Gone Wild.
Oh, don't give it
Tune
away.
Tune in at 11:00 p.m. right here on your local station. Muslims Gone Wild.
And
featuring,
if we were monetized, there,
featuring right? What's that? It is featuring
Corey Ali Muhammad.
Oh yeah, along with co-starring Ahab Jobber. Muslims Gone Wild. Right here. 8:00, 7:00 Central Time.
You know. While we're on the subject of I got the Detroit doctor.
You okay? You okay?
I'm fine.
All right.
But this story just came across, which is interesting. MSNBC counterterrorism analyst, what's his name here? Malcolm Nance calls for ISIS bombing of Trump property. That's on Breitbart, folks. And
Malcolm Nance.
Yeah,
he's black,
a,
right?
He's a black man. He's a counterterrorism.
Am I allowed
analyst.
To say that? Counterterror. Yeah. And he's a darling on MSNBC.
Called for the Donald Trump
building.
Not that
black's got anything to do with it. I have a lot of black friends. Go ahead.
Calling for the.
Isn't that what everyone says?
You're really throwing me off tonight. The Trump property in Istanbul, Turkey. He says, this is my nominee for the first ISIS suicide bombing of a Trump property on Twitter. And he's somebody in the presidential election last year who described Donald Trump as the ISIS candidate. So it's interesting to see. I mean, these people can get away with murder, and it's just getting a bit ridiculous.
Again, the
liberal insanity, the covering up of Muslim crimes, you know, trying to like in Brandon's case, you even have, you know, politicians and lawmakers.
You had two high-ranking officials in that audience that could have. Look, I don't know what this. In my view, I have to couch that. That's my attorney. He says, make sure you. The attorney says, look, I know you're paying me like $400 an hour, so just do this. If you don't want to pay, just say in my personal opinion, and then you'll be fine. That is, you know, at least. I can't tell you what he said, but no, yeah, I threw myself off on that one. What were you saying? Because I threw myself off.
We were talking
off.
About the media's role and how they misrepresent facts in these terrorism cases to shield the terrorists to shield them and the terrorists from having to say they're Islamic or Muslim or it was Muslim motivated.
Yeah, and anymore, and I'll turn serious now, but anymore you really can't identify by gender, okay, because you can't really, is it the male, is it the female? You really can't say because there's ambiguity there. Race is out of the question. Religion, when it comes to Islam, is certainly out of the question unless you are white, and wearing an American flag and carrying an AR-15, then it's okay. And there are some Fruit Loops like that, trust me, who don't deserve or shouldn't be walking around with guns because they certainly can't chew gum and think at the same time, and they've got some pretty silly notions of how life is. So I understand that. But when you've got, getting back to Brandon's case, when you've got a Muslim and he goes in to a venue of crowded people, I mean, what sense? What's the motivation? And again, in my personal opinion, I don't know what was in his mind or in his heart, what his intentions were. I tend to think a lot of it was he's struggling for relevance, in my opinion, in his life. He certainly doesn't, maybe he should get a cat. Maybe not. Hamster, maybe. Goldfish, more likely. But see, this also creates some interesting dynamics with respect to the Second Amendment, doesn't it? Because think of this. If the federal police, the local state police, he didn't do anything wrong. And he's licensed to carry. Think of the dynamics. And this is just a conversation. Think of the dynamics and think of the different facets that has for the Second Amendment, because this guy's clearly a Second Amendment advocate, but he's Muslim. And he's walking a very thin line. I want you to use your intellectual prowess there to kind of consider all angles of this and how this could be used by people much smarter than him to disarm the populace. Think about that. Again, people much smarter than him. He's just the errand boy.
But the not having any charges brought against him, especially, you know, I read some of the, as I say often, I read a lot of comments and, whether it's in articles or after the articles, from what people say, but there was, a few interesting comments that I don't have queued up, but just going from memory, one of the local politicians or somebody inside the district attorney's office possibly was laying out the case as to why this wasn't a crime because, you know, you can't, it's something along the lines of, you know, he had the guns legally that he owned, even though they were in his car, he wasn't really brandishing them at anybody.
He had two guns on him. He was wearing two guns on him. One a 45 Kimber, I believe, that he even on his Facebook pages.
But see, that's not the issue. You know, him, when you put all these things together, him being a Muslim,
right?
Him being at an event that we know he was against. You know, streaming it live on Facebook while the event was ongoing, panning the crowd with the Quran. And when you put all this together, and his actions in the car, brandishing the guns, telling people to be scared, you know, to be frightened.
Be terrified, actually.
Yeah, terrified. Yeah. When you put everything together, it's not just, you know, the one thing or the other. There is no doubt, there should be no doubt in anybody's mind that he intended, if not physically to do harm, then psychologically to do harm.
Right. And by statute, and I don't have the statute in front of me here, but in my research, the South Dakota crime statute.
We get
22-something-something.
And what was interesting, when Brandon came on, he gave us an example of another case of a man who was in a car and got cut off and boxed in by another driver, and while the other driver had this guy boxed in, apparently the guy lifted up a gun to show the other driver that he had a firearm, didn't point it at the guy, just showing, you know, don't come over here, don't start causing trouble, I'm armed. He was arrested. And apparently this was an old man. He was arrested and taken and charged.
Yeah, he was in the 70s.
And if you look at that case is much... I mean, you can understand the mentality of what that guy was doing. But at the same time, you know, on the same day, you have this other incident happen, which is obviously... he committed a crime, in my opinion. But the police let him go. And what's really interesting, and I have to check the law, I know you can have guns in your car and whatnot, but to have,
sure you can.
You know,
if you have a concealed carry weapon or permit, you can have weapons in your car in that state, based on my research.
And it doesn't matter the amount of weapon.
It doesn't matter the amount, nor does it matter the
okay.
The law does not limit the amount, the number of weapons now. But we'll just leave it go at that rather than complicate it.
We are up against the break. When we come back, more news on the other side, and in the next hour, Craig Sawyer. Don't go anywhere.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of End Times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Parada's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Coming up in the next segment, we're going to have Craig Sawyer. You don't know the name, or I'm sure not necessarily a household name. He's got an organization called Victims for Child Rescue. You want to know how rampant the sex trafficking is in this country, the pedophilia is in this country and worldwide. Well, what'd I say?
Vets for Child Rescue. org.
Did I say Victims? I'm sorry.
TacticalInsider.com.
Yeah, Veterans, and then the number four, Child Rescue.
Vets.
Or Vets. Okay, but ultimately, bottom line, his organization, let me start again. His organization is Veterans for Child Rescue, Craig Sawyer. And the, he's going to be talking about the sex trafficking, child sex trafficking, the pedophilia network. And, you know, this is not, and I'm going to tell you what it's not. It's not about Pizzagate, because that is, Alex Jones was correct in his assessment of Pizzagate. Now, that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It does exist, but
when you look at the media's definition of what that right. specific term means,
it's kind of a target. Actually, yep. it's a self-fulfilling target for the people who want to minimize the sex trafficking and the pedophilia. But that said, Craig Sawyer is going to come on the second hour. It's going to be a very interesting second hour. And this is an organization I really think everyone should get behind and tell others about, because he's doing great work. Just what we've done. Consider HomelandSecurityUS.com, Northeast Intelligence Network, just a group of investigators at the top of their professions, volunteering their time, working together, doing what they can to expose Marxist Muslim infiltration in this country. And on the ground with respect to things like Berkeley, for example, but not that, but similar to that, outing that kind of activity and following the money and such. Well, he's got military veterans for child rescue, very elite units. In fact, they've got a Viper team. It's the Veterans Investigating Pedophilia Rings Viper team. Very impressive credentials that are out fighting this, investigating and exposing this pedophilia that's fueling this is really the big thing that's behind everything else. We are not going to let this go. And I, you know, I've got a problem, Joe. And I'll tell you something. And I'm going to get into this, former Muslim, or Fresno Muslim faith, leaders call shooters Allah Akbar cry a crime against Islam. I want to get into that in a minute, but back to the pedophilia subject, which is very uncomfortable. Most people don't want to talk. We've been taught not to talk about this in polite company, mixed company. You just don't talk about this. But by not talking about it, but not identifying it, then you allow this to continue. And I am upset, as anyone else might be. I am upset right now that we're not seeing the people responsible for the pedophilia networks in D.C., in Hollywood, in New York. I am really utterly pissed off that we are not seeing arrests, prosecutions, and that we don't have more aggressive Department of Justice going after this. Now,
and John Rappaport last night touched on,
yes, he did,
on why he believes that we're not going to see those high profile arrests of people who are responsible.
You can't arrest yourself, right?
Exactly. And I think John made a great point when he talked about the not only the number of people, but the caliber of people who would be brought down inside of the most well-known circles in Washington, D.C.
But I believe, Joe, that this fuels, this is the currency of mm-hmm. I mean, children, organs, drugs, weapons, this is the currency for the destruction of our country, the currency of the criminal element out there.
And I don't know if this was John Rappaport who said this, but, or if I read this somewhere, but the, your reputation,
right,
is, especially in Satanism and in these circles, are one of things that need to be protected most by these evil people. And when that gets brought down, it brings, you know, everything else down. You
that's right.
So they're going to protect this at all costs.
This is something we're going to be talking about at the Awaken to the Shaken conference. If you haven't registered, I got to throw that plug in there. If you haven't registered, Awaken for the Shaken, do so. Awaken to the Shaken Conference, May 5th and 6th in Gurnee, Illinois. Go to paulbakeleyprophecy.com or on our website. Register. It's free. You can't beat the price. What are we talking about? This? Go ahead, Joe. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's just you know, these people have made a living, whether they're involved, you know, whether the people in Washington D.C., and we know, they're, it's not only politicians, it's businessmen, it's, this is an international, conspiracy, an international crime ring. And it's not just in the federal government, it's in local and state governments and in circles of influence from, you know, a number of different, jobs and circles of life, from, you know, lawyers to some law enforcement agencies, both federal and state and local, to, you know, we've even had guests on who talk about this, with especially with the local circles, and we know this from experience and with working with Russ Dizdar.
Who will be at Awakened to the Shaken, Russ Dizdar?
You know, these people protect each other. They share this, you know, these victims, and they share the same tactics across the board. And whether it's a Jerry Sandusky at Penn State or it is a local Boy Scout leader, these people know who each other are, and they have a way of getting away with this. Whether, you know, whatever tactics they use, and you know what we see more often than not is people being arrested with the child pornography. We don't see the distributors and the people who are creating it. It seems like the investigations or the when somebody's arrested with, we'll say, you know, 1,000 files of child pornography on their computer, we don't see. Well, researchers looked into the, you know, the pictures and or the videos and identified, you know, markers A, B, C, and D leading them to the person who distributes it, leading them to the person who made it. It always ends there. And, again, Rappaport last night talked about the Franklin scandal, the Franklin cover-up, and how the person who investigated and uncovered that, was told by people around him that, you know, you're going to hit a brick wall, because you can only go so far with this. And I think he made some very good points, folks. Go back and listen to our interview with John Rappaport last night, talking about this, because there's a lot in there. You asked the question, why hasn't Jeff Sessions you know, arrested anybody? Where is the Anthony Weiner laptop and information? And without people in the media and people, everyday citizens, if they're not pressuring lawmakers, politicians, and other media organizations to cover and stay on this, these people are not, I mean, they want this to be swept under the rug as fast as it can. And last time, I'll quote John Rappaport from last night, but he said that they would launch world wars to risk, instead of risking exposure.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah, we can't have
that's insane.
Well, I mean, the people involved in that would they don't care about human life, obviously.
That's true.
You know, speaking of world wars, imagine an EMP. Imagine any supply disruption. Well, I'll tell you what, folks. It would be bad. And of course, I hope you're prepared. Part of the preparations include something, a utility, to cook your stored food on. Minuteman Rocket Stove. Support our sponsors, Minuteman Rocket Stove being one of them. They've got the perfect cooking stove for your needs, for you and your family. The Minuteman Stove is a biomass burning stove and only requires just a really small amount of wood, sticks, and twigs for fuel. You'll always be able to find enough. I don't care if you're in downtown Manhattan, you'll find enough. Of course, if you're down there, you can. Yeah, trust me, you'll find enough. It's fully insulated with a factory ceramic, ceramic refractory insulation. It focuses the heat. It directs the heat to one spot. It's like a blast furnace. Yet on the outside, it only reaches about 200 degrees. It seals tightly for storage. It's really a great unit, Minuteman Rocket Stove. You can also get Minuteman fire starters as well. Go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com. Again, support our sponsors. And, you know, the other one as well, especially in an EMP, is Greenovative. Folks, you want to really get yourself one of these, a battery charger from Greenovative. Those are fantastic. A GMAG power cell from Greenovative. They also, this works really well in charging, recharging batteries. We have one. I've watched it work. I watch it work with, I marvel at it. And you can charge your cell phone. It's got a cord to do that. If you have a cell phone or or tablet, iPad, whatever it might be. And of course, Greenovative is an innovator in these products. Don't sit on your haunches and, say everything's going to be fine. Especially now. During the Cuban Missile Crisis, I happened to see documentary, Joe, just kind of stray a little bit. It was interesting, and I think I might have said this before, mentioned this before, the same documentary where there were people in the Kennedy administration, at the outside of the Kennedy administration, or within the administration, but really at the outside of the power structure. One Sunday during that period of time when the uncertainty was, we're going to go to war or not. Actually, two members of the administration bumped into each other in a camping store or an outdoor store in suburban Washington, D.C. on a Sunday shopping for survival supplies. But, you know, wouldn't that kind of, what message does that send to you if you're just behind the counter or, saying, oh boy. So, you can never be too prepared and understand that we are, and I think we are, ripe for an attack. But getting to Joe real quick, I just want to, and then you can go wherever you want, but real quick here in Fresno, if you can believe this, a field day for faculty in Fresno, where the Fresno Muslims faith leaders call shooters Allahu Akbar a crime against Islam. This according to the Fresno Bee, and there you have it. What more needs to be said? I'm going to stop there. Seriously. Muslim and other faith leaders. And this is the hilarity behind it, I think. If it wasn't so serious, it would be funny. You've got interfaith leaders, and this is referenced by, Brandon House in the special report. You've got interfaith leaders that are denouncing a violent shooting spree, yet saying, don't blame Islam. That's not the motive here. And you've got Catholics, you've got Christians, you've got, evangelicals or neo-evangelicals, whatever you want to call them. You've got Jewish people, Jewish leaders, all getting behind Islam and saying, Islam's not the problem. Okay, well, what the hell is? Is it the gun? Do you have a bad hair day? I mean, seriously, what do you need for a motive here?
Victims.
Well, you got that.
I mean, that's what they're basically saying. And, yeah. I mean, he didn't shoot anybody, so we can't charge him with anything.
Wait a minute. Wait, no. I'm talking now. This goes back to Fresno. Not.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So yeah, this.
I'm sorry.
Fresno. I mean, Fresno. Allahu Akbar has been used by Muslims to express for over the last 1,400 years a battle cry. Who were
I mean, it's a known phrase.
Yeah,
that is said by suicide bombers before they carry out their acts of violence. I mean, that's people have made jokes about it for years.
But Joe, I think people like Stephen Colbert, who's the other idiot out there, that nighttime host,
Conan O'Brien.
No, him too. But there are a bunch, and a Samantha Bee, you know, that raggy feminist. But anyway, all of these people are cultivating these useful idiots among the interfaith community. While they decry religion in general as some sort of psychological issue, they are using the people out there, good, well-intentioned members of the religious community who believe in coexistence and interfaith dialogue, but in fact, it's a damnable, contemptible lie. But the bottom line here is this will be, and this is being exploited. The tolerance of the Christians is being used as a weapon against them, and they cannot see this.
You're absolutely right, and it's being used against them and us in the worst ways, because it's the message of tolerance, but that's not what, I mean, they can say it in words, but that's not what their actions are. Their actions are intolerance. I remember, being in school and after school, after the school years, hearing people who were so sick and tired of hearing about Christianity. Well, you can believe what you want to believe, but don't shove your beliefs down our throat. And you remember that?
Or we'll shoot you.
But, you know, now we live in this culture where the, I don't even know what to call them, leftists, progressives, communists, Marxists, Nazis, whatever you want to call them, the left is saying, it's not okay just to tolerate us anymore. You have to believe the way we want you to, or else you're a racist, or else you're, you know, a hate monger. Intolerance. Yes. It's they're saying that you need not only to tolerate, but you need to accept and adopt what our beliefs. Otherwise, you know, basically you are a scourge on society.
That's part of it. Do you know that in addition to, the Communist Party USA, the RevCom, all of those, the signage, the people carrying the signs are proxies for, like, the CPUSA, RevCom, the Socialist, Marxist, and Communist. It's some might say, well, that's kind of a diverse group of people, but yes. But their goals, and particularly CPUSA and the Socialists, the people for Bernie Sanders, their platform, let me just tell you what their objectives are. And some have been accomplished, some haven't been.
Are these some of the original ones?
The original. Okay. Well,
was there like 44 of them?
No. We're not talking back in the 60s. We're talking about essentially under Sanders.
Okay.
Now, this is what they have, what they're pining for under Sanders and continuing it today, as we see in Berkeley and other places. But they want gun control, complete gun confiscation. They want government control of all student loans. They've essentially accomplished much of that. They want a $15 minimum wage. They are definitely for anti-fracking, no pipeline, no Keystone pipeline, no fracking. They are all in favor of defense budget cuts, and they are they want to normalize all abhorrent behavior, including homosexual marriages, and any other perversion of both morals and religious or spiritual principles. There you go. I mean, that's their stated objectives. I'm not going to go into all of my findings, but you've got the Democratic, or DSAUSA.org. They've got 60 chapters of the Democratic Students Association that's heavily involved in a lot of this stuff that's taking place right now. The International Socialist Organization, you've got, in fact, you can find this on YouTube. They're monetized. Demo Socialists is a search term that you can find them on. The Antonio Gramsci mentality. And if you don't know who Antonio Gramsci is, I would say look it up. You've got the DSA infiltration all across our country into Congress. That mentality, the CPUSA and the other organizations as well. You've got Sanders, who really is the darling among the Marxists out there. Mm-hmm. And you know,
they're trying to roll him back out as a viable political option.
They might have to, you know, pump him full of formaldehyde at some point so he doesn't stink up the place, but yeah.
And what's interesting with them rolling, they're doing some kind of tour. The Democrats are doing some kind of tour with Bernie Sanders and another, I want to say, well-known Democrat, but there's not many well-known Democrats out there anymore. And it was interesting, what was his slogan? I'm with her? Or Hillary Clinton's slogan?
I'm a stupid. I mean, I'm with her.
And another slogan that Sanders adopted to promote Hillary Clinton, he came out this week and said that it was all BS, basically. That it was basically a publicity stunt.
Who?
That Bernie Sanders said.
Sanders.
You know, but this is something that he rolled out, stood for, and said, you know, I'm with her. We got to stand by Hillary Clinton. And now to come back and say all that was just a publicity stunt. I heard actually, too, that after the primaries that he got some money from the Clintons, enough to buy a summer home in Vermont.
Yeah, you know, a lot of this.
I don't have all the details on that, so I guess.
That's kind of out there. I'm not sure. I think you were probably, that's maybe two or three levels away from Sanders, but it's still, or away from Clinton's, but I do believe that took place.
Yeah, well, I know that he bought the home, and it was, I think it's almost $700,000, if not more, home. But still, yeah. I mean, they're pretty desperate. And I see the news is given this Georgia District 6 election, a lot of coverage there. You know, you have the MSNBCs and CNN saying, you know, they're rolling these elections out as some kind of anti-Trump movement. And I even saw Newt Gingrich and some others commenting on it from Fox News, saying that, you know, this just shows that the Democrats can't win. One of the interesting things about that election and what happened yesterday in the 6th District of Georgia, where Tom Price was, as he was given the HHS seat by Donald Trump, that's why they're having these special elections. The Democrat, I don't have his name in front of me, outspent the Republicans $8 million to $75,000.
Where was this again?
I'm sorry. In the 6th District of Georgia.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's right. That's right.
And this wasn't even... And the Democrats could have got it with a 50% or higher vote, but now because there was 12 candidates, 11 Republicans, one Democrat, he didn't meet that threshold, so now they're going to have an election in, I think, on June 20th, maybe.
The runoff we're talking about.
Yeah, the runoff.
Yeah.
So, but it's interesting to see, this is the second House race that has taken place since the election.
And that shows a bigger mindset, I believe.
But the money behind it is what's interesting. Yeah. You know, when you look at Hillary Clinton's campaign, she spent over $2 billion.
Yeah.
To Donald Trump, hardly didn't spend anything.
I mean,
they're outspending them 10, 20, 30 to 1, and they're still losing the elections. So, I mean, if there's any glimmer of hope in here, that is it, that people are being able to see through or not being manipulated by the propaganda.
Who in the world spends that kind of money for a public office?
George Soros.
Well, of course, but
right. You make less than, you know, $500,000, $200,000 a year, and you're spending $8 million or more for.
Oh man!
I mean, you're spending $2 billion on a campaign to make $500,000 a year. But obviously, we know that there's untold number amounts of perks. You know, probably priceless with your ability to make money while in office and after office. I guess it's the influence. I guess it's the power. You know, it's not about the money at a certain point with these people. It's about being able to consolidate power and to push the globalist agenda forward. And for that, they'll be rewarded in this life with maybe money and fame or book deals or TV shows or memoirs or whatever. All for further bringing a globalist, satanic New World Order into power.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly.
And they're going to do it through. They're going to do it through elections or force. They're going to do it through war. They're going to tear down countries. They're going to set the world on fire. They're going to do whatever they
literally. Yeah. Yeah, and you know, again, the what's taking place in the dark, the pedophilia is just, it's horrible, the sex trafficking, and then we get into the organ trafficking.
Yeah, there's a lot there, and that goes back into the spirit cooking.
Yep.
And I think this is where it's very interesting about the spirit cooking. You know, you have a lot of people who call the elite vampires, because from Aleister Crowley's book to drinking blood, basically, of children or younger victims is said to basically give these old people some kind of life force.
Well, when you start investigating this, and let me tell you something, when you start looking at the parties of some of these Hollywood people, the actors and actresses, and you start looking into the what they consider entertainment
and art,
and then you go to New York and Los Angeles, you can. There's a website. I'm not going to give it out, but you can register with this website. You have to pay $75,000 initiation fee. I believe it's $75,000, and then for $1,500 or $1,800, depending, or the amount. There's two different amounts. I think it's about $1,500 or $1,400. You can attend a party if you bring a female, and then if you come stag, shall we say, it's a higher amount than that, but these are sex parties. Nothing more, nothing less than sex parties, and the perversions there are beyond anything. And again, I'm not going to give the website out, but these are coming more and more commonplace. And some of the names you would recognize, including some in the media, many in the media, well, I shouldn't say some, many, I believe, in the media, from what I've seen in through my investigation, one very prominent makes no secret about it. I'm not going to even name that person because I don't want to give that person that. I'm not going to name it.
But we'll do it live.
Yeah.
Remember Bill O'Reilly's little freak out?
Yeah, bye, Bill. We'll do it live! We'll do it live!
Folks, if you're not familiar with that, go on YouTube and search Bill O'Reilly. We'll do it live. Take the 2 minutes and have a good laugh.
What's that say? What's that say? I can't read it. Eric, I can't read that.
I can't even do the impression because there's so much cursing in that. Oh, but it's really funny. He's out at Fox News after, I don't know what, I didn't read any articles about it
Notre
today.
Notre Dame is proud.
It seemed like they had anticipated this because they did a number of scheduling shifts with Tucker Carlson and other people's there. And I think, if I had to guess, I'd say a female reporter is going to be brought in to replace the, I don't want to say hole, that Megyn Kelly left because she was turning into a liberal mouthpiece for a number of years before.
But
it's Fox News.
You got to know these people, and you know what? There are a few. They're just a few that are. I mean, a few.
Well, that's
really
a
good.
Bill O'Reilly's a dinosaur that I think should have been gone a long time ago, but he's gone now. So we'll see, folks. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Craig Sawyer, vetsforchildrescue.org. That's vetsforchildrescue.org. He's a Navy SEAL. His bio is extensive and very impressive. We're going to be getting into a number of issues with him, specifically child trafficking and pedophilia and his fight to get to the bottom and expose these people, get them arrested, and save as many children as possible with Craig Sawyer. Right after this, don't go anywhere.
Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right, you need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bing, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, and that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's smoke. Fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove in an ammo can.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.